Hello, welcome to the Let's Get Running podcast. I'm recording this show in the week leading up to the London Marathon, so we're going to do a bit of a London Marathon special. We've got a great interview on this week. We are interviewing Charlotte Purdue. She's one of the leading British contenders in the race. She's gunning for one of the top three places that will guarantee her selection for the World Championships this summer in London. We talk about her training in the lead up to this marathon. We talk about her nutrition, and also how she's managing her taper. All very interesting stuff. So listen ahead for that one. I'm running the marathon. Hopefully see lots of you guys out there. My number is 1,483. I'm not expecting any great shakes this year. I'm not in great form. I've had two bad races in my last two lead-up races. So I'm just going to go and enjoy the race and soak up the atmosphere. As London's always an incredible experience, and I'm going to really enjoy that. I'm wearing a Highgate Harriers vest, so give us a wave if you see me out on the course. And this week, I'm also going to announce live on the show the winner of the I Am Runbox Pro rucksack draw. I'm going to go to my random drawometer, what's it now, and I'm going to press the draw, and our winner is John Campbell. So I'm going to get in touch with John and hopefully get that pack sent out to him in the near future. Hope John finds that really useful. If you didn't win this time, please listen in again for future prizes. You also, you have 20% off going forward from Iron Runbox, which is really useful. If you're enjoying the show, if you like what you hear, I would love a review. You can do that on iTunes, on Facebook, perhaps, or any other podcast provider that you're using. Always warmly received, even if it's good or bad. And good luck if you are running this weekend in London. Hope everyone has a great run, and good luck with all your running and racing over the next couple of weeks. Here we go.
How are you feeling for the marathon this weekend?
Yeah, I'm feeling really excited about it. It feels like I've been waiting for so long now. Yeah. For it to actually happen. But yeah, because I've been training for it probably seriously now since January, really. Yeah, that's when I kind of started really focusing on the training for it. So I remember I got back from Australia and I said to my boyfriend, oh, I wish it was this weekend because I feel ready for it now. So it's kind of been a bit annoying the last few weeks because I've just been trying to keep, well, I have actually made progress in training, but I would have said 4 weeks ago that I was ready to run the race. So yeah, the last 4 weeks I have improved, but I would have been happy running it 4 weeks ago.
And is it your third marathon?
Yeah, third marathon. So I actually did, I did start a Berlin marathon in September, but I got food poisoning the night before. So I was a bit sick and I had to drop out of the race. So I did Frankfurt instead. So yeah, this will be my third full marathon.
Oh, wow. And have you done anything different this time around than the previous two?
Nothing different. I would say I've literally just had more consistent training. So obviously last year was my first one. I'd never done like over 100 mile weeks before. And I hadn't done like long tempos and I hadn't run over 2 hours. Whereas this time round, I've obviously done it twice before. So now it's just easier to run 2.5 hours because I've already done it before. I know what to expect, and kind of my body's used to running like over 100 mile weeks now, so it's kind of been a lot easier to pick up from where I left off from the last two marathons.
Yeah, and I saw you ran a 130 mile week this time around.
Yeah, this time around. So for London last year, I reached 120. That was my highest. And then before Berlin, I actually did 125, and then this time I did 130. So one extra run in the week. And yeah, it was mental. I couldn't actually believe that I ran that many miles. It was only 2 weeks ago as well.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
What did that look like? So were you running twice a day, every day?
Yeah, Monday was two easy runs. Tuesday, I had a massive session. I did 5x5K. Yeah. And so with the warm-up and cool-down, that was like a 23-mile morning. And then I also did a 5 mile run in the afternoon. So that made it like, yeah, 27 mile day, wow. 28 mile day. And then Wednesday I did easy runs, Thursday two easy runs. I think Thursday I did 90-30. So I did 90 minutes in the morning and 30 in the afternoon. And so we're both easy, but obviously that racks up like 17 miles or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Friday I had another massive session day where I do like a threshold run in the morning and then I repeat it in the afternoon. So that was again like a 27 mile day. And then Saturday I had one easy run and it was like I did 8 miles, but that was it.
Yeah.
And Sunday I did 2.5 hours, so that was like 23 miles, so that made it wow. 150 easy. Yeah. So it wow. doesn't, it's surprising like how it racks up, but for me it didn't. The only hard days were really Tuesday and Friday were really, really hard, and then Sunday was obviously 2.5 hours, but I didn't do it at a fast pace, so that even didn't feel that hard.
Yeah.
So it was only really Tuesday and Friday that were massive. So yeah, that's how the week went.
Yeah. And do you look at averages and stuff for the week? Do you, are you quite, do you top these things up when you're doing it?
I like to look after I've done it, but I always tell my coach like, oh, I did this much, and he doesn't really, I would say he doesn't really care. He doesn't, yeah, he doesn't really care about like how much mileage I've done as long as I've done the sessions that he's set and been able to do runs. He wouldn't care if it was 120 miles or if it was 130 or if it was 140. He just cares that I've done like the work that he set me.
Yeah.
But I like to look at the averages, yeah.
And you live in Teddington, so most of your training happens around Richmond Park, is that right?
Yeah, Richmond and Bushey Park is where I do all my training when I'm in England.
Yeah. And were you out in South Africa too this winter?
So I went to South Africa in January, I usually go to Australia January, but one of my training partners and friends, Susan Kaiken, she's Dutch. Her like group were going, well, not her group, because she's also part of Melbourne Track Club, but her federation were going to Dalstrom in South Africa, and she was allowed to take a training partner. So she asked if I wanted to be the training partner. And yeah, I said, yeah, because it would be something different. And then straight from there, I went to Melbourne, which is what I would usually do.
Yeah.
Spent a bit longer in Melbourne this year than I would have last year. I think last year I came back early because of the World Half Marathon. This year I came back to run Reading. But yeah, I stayed out there a bit longer. So I was away, yeah, all of January, all of February and half of March.
What's it like, South Africa, to train in? I've been there myself once, like just for a holiday. But is it a good place to train?
I really liked it. The trails were good and it was the altitude where we were, so it was really good for running, but I didn't find it I didn't feel really safe there. Like right. You couldn't really run alone, and we had our house was burgled in the middle of the night.
Oh wow.
So that wasn't ideal.
Not a great experience really.
No, but the running was really, really good. So I would love to say I would go back there for the running, but obviously if you don't feel safe, it's not really, you don't want to put your life at risk.
No, just for a training camp.
Exactly. In Australia, you can get the best of both worlds. Like you can go running by yourself at night. You can feel safe.
Can you run at altitude in Australia?
Yes, yeah, so I usually go to a place in January called Falls Creek, which is where Nick's group go for the whole of January, and it's really good there. It is at altitude as well. But yeah, I decided to go to South Africa this year just to mix it up and try something different, because I've been to Falls Creek the last 2 years. But I reckon I'll be going back to Falls Creek next year. Yeah.
And you're trained by, is it Nick Bideau?
Yeah, Nick Bideau, yeah.
Yeah, how long have you been running with him?
This will be 3 years coming up this March.
Right.
And there's another couple of things, because is that Andy Vernon's with Nick?
Yeah, Andy is the only other one who's... Yeah. With Nick, but my boyfriend Adam, he's actually out training with Melbourne Track Club now in Mount Laguna. Yeah, so he's not coached by Nick, but he's just training with the group now in California, so that's where they all are.
Oh, nice. And with this marathon, obviously you said you run Reading. Do you have any kind of, in the build-up to your marathon, do you have any key workouts that you look towards or any key races, sort of like a half marathon that you aim for, that tell you what sort of shape you're in, how you're running?
For the marathon, yeah, I've only done two, but the last two I've done the same sessions before the last two marathons as I have before this one. And Yeah, like I said, that session 5x5K, I mean, this time last year, I struggled to hit, I didn't hit the times that Nick set me to do. And then before Berlin, I hit all the times that he set me to do. And then this time around, I was actually in total 2 minutes faster than the times that he set me to do. So that's how I know, like, I'm in good shape for this one, because obviously this time last year, I couldn't even run the times. Then where I was just about hitting the times. And around 2:30, and then this time I've been 2 minutes faster than the times, and then that's obviously a key indicator that I'm in a lot better shape than in October.
So
just stuff like that, really. Just in January, obviously, I wasn't really bothered about what times I was running. I was just trying to get a good base, and I think that really helped, being at altitude, getting a good base, and trying to work on some speed, and then coming back. Yeah, really, for the last 8 weeks, I've been doing Pacific Marathon stuff, and it's all been a lot faster than before October, so that's good.
Oh, perfect. And do you think, what's your week been like this week? Have you really cut back in terms of your training for this final week before the race?
Yeah, so since last Friday, I would say, so about 10 days before we kind of start to do less, I still did a session on Saturday, and I still did one on Tuesday, but Saturday and Tuesday were a lot less. Like, I needed about 5 miles of effort on Saturday, and then Tuesday I needed about 20 minutes. So I start to do, yeah, way less this week. I hardly do anything. I said to Nick, when I start doing single runs, that's when I know that I'm tapering. So about 10 days ago, I started doing like single runs. Had the odd day where I've doubled, but only really easy. So yeah, I would do about 10 days really easy before the race, and the next few days I'll hardly do anything, so
yeah. And do you think you'll even have a day off? Do you bother to
I actually don't have days off anymore. Yeah, so the last day off I had was when I flew back from Australia, and that was obviously forced because it takes a day to get back running on the plane. But apart from that, I haven't. And then the day off before that was when I flew to South Africa, so I don't actually have days off. I just find that I don't really need them. I can have a day where I do an 8 mile run in the morning, and I just run really slow, and I find that my recovery days are enough for me to feel pretty good.
Yeah.
So I usually have, when I'm marathon training, I do like a big session, and then I'll have about 3 easy days before the next big effort. Right. Occasionally I'll have 2, but usually I have 3. So I find like 3 easy days is enough for me to recover. I don't really need a rest day. Obviously, if something was sore or I got a little niggle or an injury, then I would take time off, but touch wood, I haven't actually had any of those, so I haven't had to have any days off, which is good.
Yeah.
After the marathon, so obviously I have.
Yeah. I was going to say, are you looking forward to anything specific after the race? Have you got like a vice, like a big burger or something, or all your Easter eggs are you going to eat after?
There's a lot of Easter eggs waiting for me. My whole family, like, at the weekend, they all met up and they had, like, a massive Easter lunch, and I didn't even go. I was just, like, trying to stay
away. Yeah.
Just trying to, like, keep in my routine. I kind of just forgot it was Easter. And so I've got about 6 Easter eggs waiting at my dad's house for me. I said to him, like, after the race, I'm coming around for the Easter eggs. But yeah, after the race, I'll have like a week off, and then an easy week, and then I'll just get back into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I usually have about 2 weeks, I'd say, where I kind of just mentally switch off, and just, because you kind of need it after you've focused for so long, especially because I've been focusing on this race now for at least 3 months without like any disruption. So I kind of need to have like a little bit of a break before I can get back on it. Otherwise, I'd probably go a bit crazy.
And there's place up for grabs at London, isn't there? The World Championships.
Yeah, there is.
Is that your what do you need to run in terms of time?
I already have the time, so I thought the time was going to be 2:31, but they actually lowered it to 2:36. Right. So I ran 2:30 in October, and that counts. The qualifying period opened at the beginning of September, so my time's able to count for that. So I don't actually have to run any time on Sunday, but I feel like I'm in shape to run a personal best. So I'm not going to waste any opportunity and like jog around just to run. Yeah, when I can feel like I can run a PB. Yeah. So I would just have to, I say I just have to, but I have to come in the top three, and then I'll be qualified for the world champ. Top two is automatic, and then third is like discretionary, so the selectors can choose.
Yeah.
So two would be guaranteed.
So in terms of your strategy then going into it, you're just looking to race, or do you have in mind like you want to go through halfway in a certain time? What's your approach to it, do you think?
I haven't actually really spoken to Nick about that yet, but in my mind, I want to run a fast time just because I know I'm in great shape. So I don't want to waste, like I say, why would I waste an opportunity when, you know, I can't say that I'm going to be in this good shape ever again. I could break my leg next week. So I don't want to waste the opportunity to run fast when I know I'm in shape to run fast. So I don't think that I'll be just jogging around for a position, to be honest. I'll be going for a time. And I hope the position will obviously come with the time that I'll run.
Yeah. And do you kind of know any girls that you want to kind of sit in with? I'm not sure what the women's field's like this year. Have you got an idea of where you want to be and who you want to be around? Or are you just going to go and see and play it by?
I just want to run my own race, really. I know there's a couple of Australian girls that are in the race, and they've both run, Lisa Waitman's run about 2:26, and then Jess Trengrove's run 2:27, so I know they're decent runners. I'm not sure what shape they're in, but they'd obviously be good people to have around me, and
I live in Amsterdam now, and I train with a guy called Bram Wassenaar, and his athlete is he's run 2:26 too, I think, at Berlin. Andrea Dalstra. Yeah, so she's coming over to run it. So she's around that 2:26 time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in an ASIC. I think she's sponsored by ASIC, so you might see her. But anyway, but there seems like a good bunch of people around that kind of time, isn't there? Around sort of
20, yeah, there's some Americans as well. There's two American girls, and they've both run 2:28 before. So I don't know what they'll be aiming for. But obviously, it's not their trial, so they literally will be going for a time. They do have to be aware that they have to come in the top two as well. But for the marathon, it's so long that if you just kind of got to run your own race, really.
Yeah, yeah. And what are the British competitors like? Who's going to be up against you for the
yeah,
places?
Always good British runners. So there's obviously Joe Pavey's running. Not sure what shape she's in, but she's obviously run 2:28 before, so she's pretty good. On last year, she obviously ran well on the track, so she's obviously a good runner. And then there's other girls that are running. Sonia Samuels isn't running this year, and she ran last year. And then there's Susan Partridge, Ali Dixon, I think Louise Damon's running, and yeah, so there is good runners.
Yeah.
Yes, there's good competition. So.
And you said you said you've been focusing on this kind of race for a few months. In this final week, are you doing anything specific mentally to prepare yourself? Have you got any kind of strategies to take away the nerves and things in this final week?
I honestly don't really get nervous before races. I used to when I was younger, but now I get more nervous for training. Before that 5x5K session, I was really nervous, and before like the other ones I've been really nervous, and in Australia I was nervous before training, but because I feel like if you hit the times and you do it well in training, then the work's done and the race is the fun part. So I don't really get nervous for races. I just get excited to run, because if I've done what I needed to do in the training, then I can just be excited for the race because I know that I've done the work. So I'd only get nervous for a race if something had gone wrong, like if I had a niggle going in or I hadn't done the training, then I'd be nervous thinking like, oh, can I do this? But if the training has gone well, then I don't really, it's more excitement on the day.
Wow, that's pretty lucky. Most people are sitting here now thinking, everything's running through their minds and worrying if they're going to finish. But it's nice to have that attitude that you can just, get out there and just enjoy the experience.
Yeah, just nervous the last few days about not getting ill, not twisting my ankle, not getting food poisoning. They're the things that I'm like nervous about. The actual race, I haven't even really thought about it yet. I'm just trying to get there. It's kind of a relief when you wake up in the morning and you're like in one piece. It's like, yes, I've made it.
Yeah, I can just go and do what I needed to do all along.
Exactly.
Yeah. And is it your first year in the hotel at Tower Bridge and stuff? Or did you go when you made your debut? You were in,
I went last year, actually. But last year I went into the hotel on Saturday because they didn't need me for the press conference last year. But this year I'm going tomorrow because I'm doing the press conference. So that'll be fun. That'll be a bit different where I haven't done that before. Yeah. So something new. So I'll be staying in the hotel a bit longer, but my brother lives like right over the Tower Bridge. So he'll be on the other side of the bridge. So got a friendly face around.
And I bet that in itself is quite a fun experience, being in that hotel with, you know, Olympic champions, world champions, because it's the best field. London's always the greatest field they can assemble. So it's quite a, it must be an amazing experience.
Last year, there was just so many runners in the hotel and it was just crazy. You couldn't even go like anywhere without getting stopped and people like chatting to you. So yeah, that is cool. But obviously, yeah, before the race, you kind of have to stay a bit focused on what you're trying to do. Whereas after the race, it's like a massive party, so it's fun.
Nice. And like in terms of your eating now, do you have like a nutrition strategy in this last week to prepare yourself to run?
Yeah, I do. So I just try to kind of eat my own food, what I've practiced in training, where before Berlin, obviously, I got the food poisoning. So now I'm a bit more paranoid about what I eat. The day before but in Berlin, I actually just ate at the hotel in the buffet, what was down at the hotel. But before this one, I said that my brother lives over the bridge, so I'm going to be going for dinner with him and stuff and just eating my own food rather than in the hotel, just because of, I think I must have a sensitive stomach or something, but I just don't want to like get anything wrong these last few days. And in Berlin, obviously, it all went wrong in the last 24 hours. Yeah. So now, yeah, I'm a lot more strict about what I am eating the last few days.
And do you do anything like, sort of, do you have any like carb loading strategies and that you follow?
Nothing specific really. I just, because obviously when training goes so well, I just try to do what I did before training and not change anything, because I feel like you can, overcomplicate things, in a few days. People obviously buy into all these different things that they read about, but if you've done well in training and what you've eaten before that, then that works for you. So obviously I do eat more carbs the day before and like 2 days before the race, but I don't sit there and eat like a shit ton of carbs the day before the training sessions that I did. So why would I do that the day before the race? I've done even less training. So yeah, I just try to eat stuff that won't make me get sick, really.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
During the race, have you got your water bottles on the elite stations? Do you practice like your strategy down to a T, or do you just kind of know roughly when you'd want some drink or whatever? Do you have like a set time thing, or are you quite flexible with it?
No, I've practiced drinks and gels in training as well. So in the race, I'll take drinks and I take SIS gels. I found they're the best ones. Because they also have electrolytes in them as well, the gel. So I'll take a drink at one station and then the next one I'll take a gel, but obviously I won't need to take the drink with the gel because there's electrolytes in the gel, which is pretty good.
Yeah. And they do a coffee flavour, which is like, I hate the sickly sweet ones. And they do an espresso flavour, which is the one I'm taking, I think.
I like that. I have cola flavour and... pineapple is my absolute favourite. I actually look forward to that pineapple flavour. Nice. I do those and drinks, and I put a drink and a gel down at every station, and then whichever one I kind of feel like I need, I'll take. But I usually don't take gels till the second half of the race.
How many would you take normally in a
race? Usually I take maximum 4. Probably, I'd say definitely 2 or 3, but I wouldn't take more than 4, no. Probably about 3, I'd say.
Yeah.
Just about the race, because they are quite big, and yeah, obviously in training I've practiced, but yeah, would not take more than 3 or 4, I would say.
Yeah. And do you have a special breakfast you have before the race? Do you need a couple of hours before?
Yeah, I usually have just what I've had in training as well. I usually have like rice cakes with peanut butter, banana, honey, and then before the race I have like another little snack, which I don't know, either some banana loaf or more bananas, a lot of bananas. they're just easy to digest and you can get them everywhere, like every country. So yeah, always go for the bananas and peanut butter as well. So can't fail with the peanut butter and banana.
Yeah, lovely. Do you put it actually on the peanut, do you like spread it on the banana or do you just dip it?
I usually do rice cakes or like gluten-free toast or gluten-free pancakes on the bottom, and then peanut butter next layer, then banana next layer, then honey on the top.
God, nice.
Yeah, it's really good. So I have that before training and before races. Because I can't really, I don't like to have milk before a race. Just doesn't sit well in my stomach. So I go for, the carbs and then peanut butter for a bit of fat and then more carbs and a bit of sugar in the honey. So yeah, seems to be working well for me.
Perfect. And what are you looking forward to, like, in terms of, have you got a race other than the World Championship? Have you got any goals this year?
No, so my main aim is to qualify for the World Champs and haven't really thought about anything else apart from that, really. Just World Champs run. Obviously I want to get another PB for the marathon because I feel like I can get faster than 2:30. So to break 2:30 would be a main goal this year. And I'd also like to run a faster half marathon. At Reading, I was a bit disappointed with the time, really, just because it was windy on the day, but I felt like I could have run definitely a 71 something or like even sub 70. I was in shape to run. So, not sub 70, sub 71, sorry, so 70 something, but I was good with what the time that I ran. So yeah, I'd like to get a faster half marathon in if I can find one later in the year or something.
Perfect. Well, I'm sure you'll do it.
Thanks.
Good luck for Sunday. It's going to be very exciting to watch that women's race. You guys set up at 9:30, is that right?
I think it's 9:15.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 9:15, but I'll have to check.
Okay. And actually, I've got three questions I need to ask you, which I ask everybody as on the podcast. So basically, it's what's your favourite ever make and model of running shoe?
So I love the Nike Marathoners. They were like flats. I think Paula wore them when she ran 2:15, actually. Yeah, they were, when I first started running, they were like the first pair of flats I ever had. And I absolutely loved them. And I said to my boyfriend last year, I said, oh, how cool would it be to run my first marathon in the Nike Marathoners? But I couldn't get hold of any. And obviously, they're so awful now. They're probably, like, not even the best for your feet or anything.
Yeah. You'll see them in Shoreditch now, people wearing them. They've gone for, they're nothing. You won't be able to wear them to racing.
I absolutely loved them. So, yeah, they were my favourite Nike shoes ever.
Yeah. Because you're sponsored by Nike now, is that right?
Yeah, I am sponsored by them. And now I race in the Lunar Races, which I do love as well. And obviously I can't wait to try those new shoes that are coming out, I think at the end of May, the marathon shoes.
I was going to say, are they going to let you have some for this race? But
I was trying to get one, but they're not available yet. So they've only made promos for the guys in Oregon. So they're the ones that they're racing in. So yeah, it would have been cool to get them, but hopefully if I run in the World Champs, I'll be running in them. So that'll be really cool.
Nice. And can you recommend anything really, a book, film, podcast or TV series that you've enjoyed lately?
I read a ton of books, but I can't actually think about ones that I've read.
You can go with a favourite book of all time if that's a good one.
Favourite book of all time? Oh, I'm just going to say something really cheesy like Harry Potter if you ask me that. I can't really think. Films, no. Podcast. I actually just did a podcast with a guy in Australia, and he's actually done quite a good few podcasts like interviews and stuff with a lot of the Australian athletes that I train with. It's called the Physical Performance Show.
Cool.
Yeah, so he's actually a really nice guy. He's a physio in Queensland, and he's interviewed loads of Australians. So that's good to listen to if you.
I'll try and put a link on that.
One of my training partners, Cathy Fien's been on it, and also Eloise Wellings and Genevieve Lequez and Ryan Gregson, they've all been on it. So it's good just getting insight from them.
Cool, yeah. We'll link to that.
Yeah.
The Physical Performance, you say?
The Physical Performance Show, it's called.
Okay, perfect. And the last question is, what, is, in your opinion, is the greatest endurance performance of all time?
I definitely have to say the Paula's 215. I mean, just when I'm training, I try to comprehend how fast she was running, and it's literally insane. I just can't really believe it. Me running 230 and her being like 15 minutes faster is crazy. Like last year, I finished and she was 15 minutes in front of me.
It's nuts, isn't it? It's absolutely nuts, yeah.
We even feel like, what is even the point? But obviously you've got your own personal goals. But yeah, that is definitely an amazing performance.
Yeah, I agree. Excellent. Nice one. Well, thanks very much for chatting to us. And good luck. We'll be rooting for you on Sunday. And hope you get in those top three places and guarantee that, or top two and guarantee that selection.
Thanks.
For the Wells. Nice one.
Bye.